start at the bottom of Chavdel Amid Bet. The Gemara says, I quote, "Hayu lo ma'ut stumim yiplug nintava." Right, if he has money that's unidentified when it comes to the Zirut, then that money all goes towards the olot nidava. So the Gemara asks on this, "V'halod mechatat meuravin bahed." Aren't there mechatas, meaning that within this pool of money, you have money that's going to go towards an olah, money that's going to go towards slamim, and money that's going to go towards a chatat, even though it's not identified what each piece of that money is. So, first of all, the Gemara could have asked, halod zmei shalamim, uravin bahem. You know, that the question's equally, is equally relevant, whether it's dmei chatas or dmei shalamim, because you're putting everything as an olah on the mizbeach. So, it's not, an olah is not the appropriate korban both for a chatas or for a shlamim. So irrespective of which one, this is still a problem. So that's what we're showing to point out here, that the question will go either way, except that the mechatas is much more severe. The mechatas, the fact that there's mechatas in there, and then you bring it as an olah, that's much more relevant because a chatas normally goes either the misa, right, or the money would go to the Yamamelach. So that's one issue. The second issue is, we had the brisa yesterday, that we had in the brisa yesterday, Hamafrish ma'ot l'nezirutot, someone who separates out money for his nezirutot, lo nenin v'lo ma'alin, you're not allowed to get enough from it, and you're not ma'ala, b'gnei sheheh ru'uyin l'habib kulan shlamim, because you can bring a shlamim with all of it. So how come yesterday when we said Hamafrish ma'ot l'nezirutot, over there we said, no mi'ila, no problems, because everything could be used for shlamim. And over here, we want to know why, first of all, why is it going for an olah? And number two is, why is there not tamei chatat mu'rabim behen? And the Gemara is going to admit that there is tamei chatat mu'rabim behen. So what's the difference between these? So the poskim, or the Rosh, the Tosfos here, differentiate in the statement that the person makes, that differentiates between ma'ut stumim and a mafrish ma'ut l'nezirutot. And that depends on how you formulate what the money is. So if you say it's ma'ot l'nezirutai, it's money for my nezirut, and there is not implied that you'll use this money for three different karbanot. All that's implied by that is that you will use this money to satisfy some part of your nezirut. And in that instance, you can say kulan l'slamim. Whereas if a person says that these are l'karbanot nezirutai, because these are for the karbanot of my nezirut, then by definition they are for the three karbanot that are required for nezirut. So the difference between these two, you're trying to point out, and need to be consistent throughout, is that when he says ma'ot stumim, means that he said this money is for my karbanot of my nezirut. When he says that the case that I'm makrish ma'ot nezirut is the case where he says this money is for my nezirut, period. And in that case you can say kulan l'shlamim. In this case you have to say, okay, what do we do with the dmei chatas? And now, once we reach this point, dmei chatas, what's the din? So when machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha hi b'nazir. So halacha the Moshe Misinai, that if you have ma'ot that are not, that are stumim, right, as your roots, even your all, you're right. That there's dmei chatas mu'avimen and dmei shlamim mu'avimen, that they all go to a olat mizbeh, they go olat nidava. Everything gets used for the keretz mizbeh. Reish Lakish Amar, no, we have a pasuk that says, "B'chol nidrehem v'chol nidvotam," for all their nidarim and all their nidavot. So, what does that mean? "B'chol nidrehem v'chol nidvotam"? Nidarim and nidavot are two separate things. So that the darshan, the pasuk, where it's learned the pasuk, a Torah amra, motar neder, that which is left over from your nidarim, yehid nidavot, goes towards a nidavot. So, nazir is a form of neder. And that load is left over from your nether, meaning that which is left over from your nezirut, the ma'ot stumim, will go towards your nidavot, will go to the olat nidavot, towards the mizbeach. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlamahu, over here, right, when the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we can explain a difference here. Bishlamahu, Rabbi Yochanan, Zamar Halachi, that he says, Salach Mashmisina, I ben Nazir, Amatullah, Hachi, Stumim, in Mufurashim Law. So in that case, you can differentiate between Stumim and Mufurashim, because that's where the Halach Mashmisina applies. when they are unidentified, when the money is unidentified, there's just a pool of money, even though it's all three karbanot, in that instance we say it all goes olat neva. When you have identified which of each karban comes from that pool of money, then we say that the chatas goes to the Yam HaMelech, the mechatas goes to the Yam HaMelech, the olah goes on his bechas and olah, the shlomim goes on his bechas and shlomim. So Rabbi Yochanan can easily explain that difference by just saying that's part of the halacha of the Moshe Mitzrayim. But Reish Lakish, the chol nid v'ehem, or the chol nid v'otam, my area stumim apidu mifurashim. Why should there be any differentiation? I mean that if the pasuk says anything that's left over from your nether goes to a nidava, the mifurashim are also left over from your nether. Just you can't use them, and therefore they should also go to the nidava tam. So why would we differentiate? So Gemara says, "Lo matzita mart." Can't do that. Kfar Pasco Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. That we already have this halacha that came out of the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. That we can't. Therefore, we cannot say that. What is halacha Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel? Rab Kodoshecha Shayu Lucha Ulindarecha. So what does it mean when the pasuk says, "Rak Kodoshecha Shayu Lucha Ulindarecha"? The Vladei Kodshim. This pasuk is talking about babies, right? Those are offspring of kodshim, or tmuratam, those where you exchange an animal for the kodesh itself, right? The halacha is hu tmurato yi kodesh. The original animal remains kodesh, plus the new animal you tried to exchange is also kodesh. So these offspring of kodesh, like, were, and these exchanges of kodesh, what's the status of these animals? Matakantam, what do you do with them? You must bring them up to the place where Hashem has chosen. You would think you bring them up to the up to the base of Mikdash, and what are you going to do with them when you bring them up to the base of Mikdash? You're going to let them die. Basically, that they're nigzar l'miso, because they're not proper karbanot. They're only extensions somehow of a karban. They don't have the original kedusha of a karban. They're an exchange of a karban, or they are a offspring of a karban. Talmud Lomar, Vasita olatecha basar v'adam. No, you make them as olotes. They go on the mizbeach basar v'adam. Lomar lecha, to teach you. Kederach shatanoeg ba'olat nahug b'tmurata. Kederach shatanoeg b'shlamim nahug b'vladehem. The way you act with an olah, so too you treat it its exchange. And by Shlamim, the way you treat Shlamim, so too you treat its offspring. So why does it use Tmura by Nola and Shlamim applied by Shlamim? That's for a very simple reason, which is that an Ola, right, can only be brought from, an Ola is only a function of male animals. Right? A Ola and an Asham only come from male animals. Therefore, there's no such thing as a Vlad Ola or a Vlad Hasham, because they're males. Whereas by a Shlamim and a Chatat, they come from females, or by Shlamim at least, and females, but females. And since they would come from female animals, you could have a Vlad by Shlamim. So when the Umar gives, or when the Tad by Shlamim gives an example, it says, Tmurat Ola. Even though it technically applies to both. I mean, Tumra and Vlad would apply to both of them. The example it gives is Tumra Tola, because an Olah can't have an offspring. And Shlamim was the Vlad, because Shlamim is in a Keba, and they could have an offspring. So that's the Mishnah, the Bryce is using those two terms, even though they apply to, technically would apply to both of them, they're just using them where they would be practical. And that's that the Tumra would come from an Olah, and the Vlad would come from a Shlamim. Yochol af Vlad Chatat utmurat Hashem kein. So here again, it gives example of Vlad Chatat, because a Chatat is a Nekeba, and therefore it has an offspring. So a Vlad Chatat, or a Tumurat Hashem, and Hashem is also only a male, therefore it says Tumurat Hashem. So I would think that the exchange for Hashem of the offspring of a Chatat, also you'd bring up as an Ola. Tamal Omar, Rak. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. It says Rak is a mute. So only Olot and Shlamim, their exchanges and their offspring are brought on the Mizbeach. There's Olot, whereas the Chatat and the Asham, that is not true. So therefore, Reish Lakish is Limud, or Mina Pasuk, right, can only be applying to Olot and Shlamim, because if he learned it with regards to a Chatas, or an explicitly identified Chatat, or Asham, we already have coming to Rabbi Shmuel, says that does not work, because Chat and Neshama are excluded or precluded from their offspring or their Tmurah being brought on the Mizbeach, and certainly the originals. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Enu Tzarich. You don't need the Pasuk. Harih Omer, Hashem Hu, V'Haviyato Tiyeh. Right, and Hashem remains in its original status. So, the question is, what is Rabbi Akiva saying? And why does Rabbi Akiva not need what we just said above? So the Gemara is going to break down the limud along the way, and we're going to go through it. Okay, so far, until this point, that we have when we say so far that the Rish Lakish's position, we establish Rabbi Yochanan's position that anything that's left, that the halacha Moshe Misinai is that which is left over from the monies of a Nazir, or Neder Nazirut, or Nazirut, it's really a Neder Nazirut, Karbanot Nazirut. If he has those monies left over from the Karbanot Nazirut, then those monies go towards Olat Nidava. But that's only true when the money was not identified which korban it would go for. Whereas if it was identified which korban it goes for, then we have the requirements by each one of those monies what to do with them. Rish Lakish, from the Pasuk can learn, does not have such a differentiation. Therefore, you would have thought both Ma'ut Sumim and Mifurashim to be used Olat Nidavah. For that, we answered up that Rabbi Shmuel, or Rabbi Akiva, depending on which limud you, but really Rabbi Shmuel's limud, which explicitly excludes a Chatat and an Hasham from being brought on the Mizbeah when they are, quote unquote, left over. Left over can be in many ways. It can be a leftover Chatas, it can be a leftover because it's a Vlad, or it can be a leftover because it's a Tmura. All of those leftovers do not go on the Mizbeach. They are not brought as a lot. So therefore, when it's Mifurashim, when it's identified as being a Chatat, we do not allow you to bring it on the Mizbeach. Because there it's explicit that you can't bring it on the Mizbeach, and it goes to the Misa. Whereas, when it's Mot Stumim, that's where we invoke the Pasuk that Reish Lakish has, which is V'chol Nidreim V'chol Nidvotam, which is left over from a Neder, will go towards a Nidava. So that's how Reish Lakish will differentiate between his Pasuk and the puzzle that Rabbi Shmuel brings down. Rabbi Shmuel is explaining the case where it's ma'ot mifurashim, and his puzzle is explaining the case where it's ma'ot stumim. So that's, now the Gemara is going to break down, or now it's going to go and say, Tani, it says, I don't know, I forgot who pointed this out, I think maybe Tosa says that this is the equivalent, it's the equivalent of saying Amar Mar. In any other Gemara, this would, the Gemara would say Amar Mar, and here it says, Tani. It says, it's time we're going back to this price that we just quoted from Tanah Rabbi Shmuel. Tani Yochel Ye Lam Nebeta Bechira V'im Nameh Maimu Mazom B'Shul Shimotu. Right, so we said, maybe you'll take all these animals up to this Be'ah, to the base of Mikdash and let them die. Tom Lomar V'asito Olotecha. Amai. What's the Havamina that you should have these Vlad, Vladei Shlamim, or these Tmurat Olah, go up and die? Right, V'ha Vlad Katatu to Gemirin Ba'Misa. The fact that the offspring of a chatos, as well as all the other chatot that are metot, die, is we have a lacham v'moshe misinai to teach us this. Ilav kra havamina. So the Gemara says, at this point, why would you have a havamina that an ola or a shlamim should end up dying? The only reason we say by a chatos that the animal dies is because we have a lacham v'moshe misinai. So why would you even have a havamina by anything else that is true? Right? The fact that a chatas does this is an exception. You need a halacha l'moshe misinai to teach that. Without the halacha l'moshe misinai, nobody would ever think that an animal dies. Not a chatas, not an ola, not a shlomim. So now we have a halacha l'moshe misinai teaches us by a chatas that it dies. Why would you think that by an ola and a shlomim that it should affect them at all? So the Gemara says, now this is what the havamina would have been. The havamina would have been this. Ilav kro, havamina, without the pasuk would have thought, v'lat chatat b'chol makom. That a v'lat chatat dies anywhere. No matter where it is, whenever they have a Vlad Chatas, then it goes Lamisa. Vladi Kodshim, Beveta Bechiro. We would have thought that was the halacha Moshe Misina was not addressing the fact that the animal dies, was in fact addressing the fact of where it dies. So we think that a Vlad Chatot dies anywhere. Wherever it's found, that's where it's Lamisa. Whereas the Vladi Kodshim Acherim would have to be brought up to the base of Mikdash, and then they would die there. And that would be the Havamina from the Pasuk. So Kamash Malon, Tolo. The Kamash Malon is no, that even though you bring up the Olam Shlamim to the Mikdash, they don't die. And the Halakha Moshina Ve'achatos is unique to a Chatat, and does not apply to any other animal. So if Lab Chatat would die, the Olam Shlamim are brought up to the Mikdash, and we saw from the end of the puzzle that they're brought as Olot on the Mizbeach. That's Ketani, which is the next piece of this price. Yochol Aflat Chatat Uchmurat Hashem. I would think that what Avlat Chatat and Uchmurat Hashem should have the same status as a Vlad Shlamim and a Uchmurat Allah. So I'm getting Tamil Omer, Rak. Right? The Torah says Rak, that they're excluded. Shmar says, Lama Likro. Why do I need a Pasuk at all? Why we know? Hilchasuk Mirla, Vlad Chatat Lamita Azil. We have a Loch Lamoshi Misinai, that an offspring of a Chatas gets killed or dies. Right? We let it die. Well, if that's the Loch Lamoshi Misinai, why do I need a Pasuk to exclude the Chatas from being brought up to the Mizbeach? We already know from the Loch Lamoshi Misinai what the status of this Vlad Chatas is. Why should they be mentioned at all on the Pasuk? So, Achanami, you're right, in Achanami, that's true. We don't need it for the Vlad Chatas. We call it Asham Hudata. Plus, it comes to teach us that by an Asham, a Tumrat Asham does not go on the Mizbeach. I says, I'm sorry, but we have a Halakha Moshe Sinai for the Asham too. Asham Nami, Yokosu Gemirla, Koshi Yidu Bechata Tumeta, Asham Roa. Anything that by the status of a Chatas would die, and by an Asham, it goes out to graze, and has to get a mumminit, and then you have to sell the animal and bring it, sell the, and the proceeds are used to bring an Olah. So we already have Halakha Moshe Sinai, which identifies what happens to a Chatas and an Asham. So why do we need Rabbi Shmuel to come along and give us a Pasuk to teach us that the Olah and the Asham and the Chatas don't end up on the Mizbeach? If we know how many at the end of the Mizbeach, we have Halakha Moshe Sinai, which tells us what does happen to them. So Mar says, Ella, imi hilchasa habamino, right? That I would have thought by the hilchasa be akrave lo lechai vele velo kum. That the halacha of Moshe Sinai is that if Vlad Chatas dies, that a Shmos Hashem goes to Luriyah. But if by some chance you didn't do that, and you put them on the Mizbeach, it'd be okay. You wouldn't be over any Avera. In that the alternative of putting them on the Mizbeach, well, it's not really offered to you. If you do it, that would not be punished. So Mar says, lo, Iriyakme, lo, lechai, vele, vele, kum, kamashmal on krod, pasatishus, imakiv, le, kaim, lava, vase. If you actually put them on the Mizbeach, there's an Iser Aseh. And the Aseh of Baruch Kodesh Shecha, right? Tisau Vata, Asita Olotecha. You bring up and bring your Olot. And we say that Tisau Vata, Asita Olotecha only applies to Olah Shlomim, not to Chatat Vasham. The fact that it does not apply to Chatat Vasham teaches us that there's an Isur Aseh. When they say that the Olah Shlomim come on, implies that there's a restriction against putting on a Chatat Vasham. So not only does the requirement of a chatas to die or an asham to go to the riyah from the halacha Moshe Sinai, the pasuk also teaches that there is a restriction, there's an isur aseh for putting them on the mizbeach. All right, so far that's Rabbi Yishmael. So we've dissected what Rabbi Yishmael said, and we understand better what Rabbi Yishmael said, because the main issue that the Gemara had with Rabbi Yishmael's position is that Rabbi Shmuel's limud, as far as it applies to chatas and asham, we already know all that information from halacha de Moshe Misinai.
Yeah, halacha de Moshe Misinai that you're supposed to just let them die, and suddenly have a possible teacher that if you don't, then everyone's back. If everyone has time.
So I don't think, in general, I can't say this definitively, but I'm pretty sure this is true, that Halakha Moshe Sinai does not identify punishments ever.
I was thinking, I was trying to remember if we have such a good...
Right, so I think that'd be probably the simplest answer. The second answer is that we try to minimize Halakha Moshe Sinai, because it's a vehicle that is not... Right, generally, we want to use limudim that come from the Torah from Pesukim. Halakha Moshe Sinai says this is something that was not written in the Torah, was passed totally orally. And therefore, I think we try to minimize that type of vehicle, that type of explanation for any halacha, because that says it's outside the realm of logic and it was passed outside the realm of logic or limud from Sukkim, and therefore we need to use this other vehicle. And I think it minimizes in general what comes from there. So I think those two things would explain why in this case you didn't do that. All right. So now, so those two issues were the halacha Moshe Sinai. We said did not address two issues. One issue is what's the status of the Olah Shlamim. And number two is, what happens to the Chatas and Hashem when you don't follow Halakha Moshe Misinai? That's what the puzzle came to teach us. By the Olah Shlamim, right, that you bring them on the Mizbeach and they don't go to Misa. We would have known that because you need Halakha Moshe Misinai to teach us Misa by the others. We say, no. We would have thought that Halakha Moshe Misinai teaches us for others go to Misa anywhere. But Olah Shlamim, you have to bring them up to the Mikdash, and then they're the Misa there. So we say, no, the pasuk teaches that no, vasita olatam. You make them into an olam shlamim. They don't go to misa at all. The olam shlamim. And the second part was that even though you have a halacha mishmi sinai that chatas is meitan and Hashem goes l'riya, that was only sufficient to teach us what you do with them. It's not sufficient to teach us what happens if you don't do that. That's what the pasuk comes to teach us, that the punishment for not doing that is an isur asay. That's what isur asay is, comes out of the psukim.
And without the halacha mishmi sinai, if we only had the psukim, we will be chaser detail as far as what to do with the chakra.
Very good. Right. Very good. Right. So the Tosa says, if you want to see it explicitly, the Tosa says, down on the bottom, the last line in Tosa's a chot hey. He does it for the other piece also. Deimi hilchasa. You see that? It's the fifth word in. Deimi hilchasa on the last line. Last line in the Tosa's final line. Deimi hilchasa abamina. Hilchasa to lo yakrib chatas ba'asham. That Allah Hashem said was that a chatas Hashem don't end up with its beach. The makib leilom et chayiv, but if he's makib, he won't be chayiv. The mashmal and krua, the pasuk teaches us, right, that he gets punishment. Veimi krua, if you just had the pasuk, havamina lo yikrivel chatas Hashem, alav yikrivel lo shlamim imir tzeh. If I just had the pasuk, it would say, don't bring these as a chatas Hashem, right? You could bring them as an olah shlamim, but you can't bring them as a chatas Hashem. So then, Emir said, "Kamash Malon, the halach mishmi said, what do I do with this chatas and Hashem? That the chatas goes to Misa, and the Hashem goes to Re'ia." Right? So that's similar to what you were suggesting, that if you had either the pasuk or the halach mishmi, you'd be missing on either side. Okay, very good. All right, now, the Gemara is going to deal with Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva's limud, which is a simple limud, but what does it do that obviates the need for Rabbi Shmuel's pasuk? That's Rabbi Akiva Omer, Enu Tzarech, Omer Hashem Hu Bavatio Tehe. Right? That's an Hashem, and the Hashem must remain in its current status. Where it says, Lama Likra. Why do I need a pasuk to teach me what happens to an Hashem? Gemara, Gemirinla. It's Allah Moshe Mesinai. What happens to an Hashem? By Kosher B'Chatat Meita. Whatever happens by a Chatas, there are five Chataot that are identified that go to Misa. Right? So in those five Chataot, by an Hashem, they go to Re'iyah. They go to out to grace, and they have to wait for them to get a Muminim. What are the five Chataot that go? Well, two of them we know, which are important here, is Vlad Chatat and Tmurat Chatat. Right? The offspring of a Chatat, which will never happen by an Hashem, so you don't have to worry about that. But Tmurat Chatat, which is the exchange. If someone tried to exchange a Chatat and put on another behemoth, the original Chatat remains, and the new Chatat is called Tmurat Chatat. That Tmurat Chatat goes to Misa. That you can have by an Hashem. You can have a Tmurat Hashem. So by a Chatat, it goes to Mita, and by an Hashem, it goes to Re'iyah. So if that's the case, we have a Loch L'Mosh Misinai that the Hashem must go out and graze and get a Muminit. What does that tell you about the Hashem? It tells you that the Hashem, Bahaviyato Tehe, that the Hashem always remains in Hashem. You can't get rid of the same Hashem on the Hashem, and therefore you have to wait for it to get a Mum, then get the money from it, and then with that money you can then go buy other Kambanah, you can buy an Olat Nitavah with that money. So why does Rabbi Akiva need a puzzle to tell you that Hashem remains in its status? By definition, Allah HaMashim Sinai tells you that the Hashem remains in its status because you can't do anything else with the animal. So the Gemara says, Halkanami. The Gemara says, Ain Halkanami. You're right. That we don't need the puzzle from Rabbi Akiva because we have Allah HaMashim Sinai. Bichiyat HaKrod L'Darav. The puzzle comes for Rav. What does that mean for Rav? The Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Osham Shen Nitak the Re'iyah, and Osham that was sent out to grace, because we needed to wait for it to get a Muminit, and then be Podet, redeem it, right, and then use the animal for Olat Nedavah, or the monies, I'm sorry, for Olat Nedavah. Osham Shen Nitak the Re'iyah, V'shachto L'Shem Olat, and then he went ahead and shechted it for an Olat Kasher. And it's kasher. Why? Taima de nitak, because it went out and it had to graze. Halo nitak. If it doesn't go out to graze, then lo. Damar kara. How do I know this? Who? Habiyato dehe. That it remains in its status as an Hashem. So what does the limud of Rab teach us? The limud of Rab teaches us, this is something we've seen in Pesachim. I think we saw this together in Pesachim. There the Gemara was dealing with, what do you do with a motar shlamim? Right? Or motar pesach. I'm sorry, not motar pesach. Motar pesach. a leftover Pesach, what happens to, what's the status of a leftover Pesach? So when you, in general, the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says that a Motor Pesach is a Shlamim, it goes as a Shlamim. Now when you have a Motor Pesach, do you have to clearly say that afterwards I'm shechnet the same shlamim, or does it automatically become a shlamim after the time? Meaning that if you have a korban pesach that's set aside, the 14th is coming up now, right, on Shabbos, and then you don't bring it as a korban pesach. By next year, it's an invalid korban pesach. Why? By definition, by next year it'll be an invalid korban pesach because korban pesach must be brought from an animal that is ben shana. So by definition, next year it's not a valid pesach. Once Pesach passes, do I have to go then remove the same Pesach from it? Do I have to go say, this is no longer Pesach, I'm bringing it as a Shlamim? Or, by definition, once Pesach passes, it's automatically a Shlamim. That's what Gemara discusses in Pesachim. So there, the Gemara also discussed an Asham, right? They bring this Pesach of that an Asham, the Habiyato Yehei, that Asham remains an Asham, even after it goes out to graze. And you have to specifically change its status in order for it to no longer be an asham. So an asham that goes out to graze, if you say if you go and say I'm bringing it as an olah, you can actually change its status. But if you don't say it's going to be an olah, when you bring it on his back, it's invalid because it remains an asham. That's what Rav says. So,
to me, it's
obvious
that really contradicts
the Okay, so we'll have to deal with this. It's very, this Gemara is not so simple. And there's a large Tosfos here that Mefarsh tries to give three explanations in the Gemara. And it's very difficult where the Gemara is now. I just want to give you the background, and then we'll explain the difficulties about, if you're pointing out, with this theme. So the Gemara Pesachim brought this as a proof against the fact that a Motar Pesach should automatically go to Shlomim, because you see by Nasham, it's not removed. It's shame. Hashem's not removed to it unless you specifically say so. So Mar says, no, Hashem has a specific limud, which is Hashem, that's what Rav says, right? That Hashem remains in its status until you remove it. That's not true of other karmanot, but that's only true of an Hashem. Now the problem is, what did we learn Rav say? All Rav says is that once it goes out to grace, it can't become an olah. That's what he says. Once it goes out to grace, you can change it over to being an olah. Guess what? The law of the Mishnah, not like what Rashol says, which says that it, when it goes out to grace, it opposes it, but actually says the exact same thing. Because what does the law of the Mishnah say? The animal must go out to grace. What happens when it gets a mum? You redeem it. What do you do with it when you redeem it?
Olah.
So the Allah of Moshe Messina already taught you that what happens to an Asham, right, that becomes Nitzak to Re'iyah, where is it going to end up?
Not the animal itself.
So that might be the question here.
So Kediyah is also, you're actually doing something proactive to change the status, but it's not automatic.
It's not smooth. You're doing something that's prescribed by the Torah. As it's more, we're not going to retain the same status. But here, you're right, Allah Moshe Messina is giving you a change in status, but that's, it's not that animal, it's not even
a store. Okay, so that's what we have to understand here, and that's what we'll spend some time here on the Rishonim, trying to read the Gemara without this problem. The Rabbeinu Tam went as far as to change the Halakha L'Moshe Messina, or the Girsan, Halakha L'Moshe Messina, to deal with the problem, because of this issue. Alright, let's just read it, since we have time here. We may as well spend the time and learn it in the Tosfos, but the Dotsdam, basically, we can. There's another little piece here, but that goes into tomorrow's daf, and we'll read it we'll read it at the end, but we'll have to read it again tomorrow anyway, because it goes through tomorrow's daf. All right, so now here, if you say nitak in, lo nitak lo, damakra hu v'abiyotei, that's the Tosfos over here. V'abiyotei asham upasu, its status, default status is an asham, and it'll be pasu, perish. Since an asham is not usually for an olah, you have to remove the name, you need to have the nitak the re'iyah, you have to have something removed from the asham in order for it to change it to olah. According to this girso, lamali krah, that's already identified in the olah for the Moshe Misinan. The chobish chatat meta, tahinu kapru balev, asham ro'eh, goes out to graze. Alma, the bay nituk. That what happens to Tumurat Hashem? It goes out to Nituk, it goes out to grace. So that's all it said here was in the pasuk that you can only change an Hashem to an Allah when it's Nitak L'Re'iyah, that's sent out to grace. Well, guess what? The Lach Moshina says, what about the Hashem? It must go out to grace. So Alma Dabai Nituk. Vedu, v'perakamah d'shvuos, kamar, yochi, ki lo nitok dami, even when it's not going out to graze, it should also, mishan gzeira l'acha kaparu, atu lifnei kaparu. It's actually only a gzeira that it doesn't work. Rav's statement is only a gzeira that acha kaparu for lifnei kaparu. That after you've been mitkaper with another ashab, that we don't let you change its status, so therefore even before kapara, we don't let you change its status. Alma, dinituk lo havi elomi derabbanan ve'alma. This whole din here that has to go out to graze, and that which allows you to change its status, that's only derabbanan. V'ham mapi klei mikro. And over here you have Rav learning this out from a pasuk. V'atam nami kasha v'alofi. And even the Gemara in Shavuos, what do you mean it's derabbanan? It's halacha Moshe Misinai, that an Hashem that can't be brought on his back ends up out in the grazing field. It's by Nitzuk, who perish Rabbeinu Tam. Because of these problems, Rabbeinu Tam changes the halacha Moshe Misinai. Listen to this. Here's Rav Zayim, the Hilchos Nishnit. This is the halacha Moshe Misinai. Kosha v'chata meita, b'sham olah. Whatever ends up as a chatos that dies, what do you do with it in Hashem? We always have throughout Shas, it says, Kol Shubachatas Meita Basham Roeh, goes out to graze. The Rabbeinu Tam says, no. Whatever dies by a chatas, by an Hashem, ends up as an Olah.
The way Rav says it, it doesn't sound like, he's not saying that that's what you should do with it. He's saying that what's the lesson? But if he did it to the end, then it's okay, then it's kosher. He's not saying we're going to time to say. It sounds like he's saying the chachila, you turn it into an ola.
Well, that, but even with the way we have the lachon machine inside, also it ends up being an ola because of the PDI, and the PDI ends up as an ola. So
but not that animal. Rob is talking about he shuts that animal.
All right, so that's what. Alright, so let's just read it through, and then we'll try it. That's a gzera derabbanan, that it ends up going out to grace. That's the Gemara in Shavuot. So he also gets rid of the nitak in, nitak lo. The vade lo mikro doesn't come from the pasuk. To buy nituk el rabbanon goes with to buy nituk liria. This whole idea that it has to go out to graze, that is all a invention de rabbanon. Gnu achach b'per kama d'shvus. The kamar that it's zero, right? Laka kapar, so let's make kapar. So now you have three different issues here. Right? What do you have? You have three issues. The Rabbeinu Tam says, this whole idea of grazing and diya is all midrabanan. That has nothing to do with the ikar halacha of the Moshe Misinai or the halacha of Rav here. So that'll answer your question. So grazing is all an invention that was added for midrabanan. Halacha of Moshe Misinai says asham becomes an olah. Rav comes along and says, okay, you want to have an asham be an olah, you have to change its name. You can't just go take the asham that has to go, that technically is no longer an asham, and put it on the zbeach. Rav says, change the name of the asham for an olah. There's a third halacha which comes from the Gemara in Shavuos, which says, not only do you have to change its name, you also need to have the ri'iyah. You have to put out an asham, it has to get out the grace, has to get it boom, then you take the money that you put it with it and use it for an olah. So that last halacha was all added to Rabbanan, but mina halacha mishnah mishnah and from Rav's halacha, the original animal would be the one that ends up on the mizbeach as an olah, meaning that an asham is an olah. So that's what Tosfos does with the puzzle, and therefore, if you read the Gemara continues.
It's not like the earlier report of Gemara.
What? That is not. No, I mean you have to change the halacha Mishnah in all of these.
He changes the gears of the Gemara.
I mean, anytime this halacha Mishnah Sinai appears, he changes the gears to read Asham, goes to the Olah, not the Riyah, goes to the Olah. And he changes that, so he says the halacha Mishnah Sinai is that an Asham goes to be an Olah. How it gets to be an Olah? Rav tells us one factor, which is that you got to change the name, and number two is the Allah midrabbanan, which is the ri'iyah, that it must go out and graze. But how do you explain the Gemara in Shavuos, that an animal must go out to graze? Not only is what you have the Pesukim of Rav, you have the Allah Moshe Misina, and the Gemara is telling us that it's a gzera the chachamim, that an Hashem goes out and grazes. What do you need a Allah midrabbanan? This is their explicit Doraisa and Allah Moshe Misina, right, that we have. So Rabbeinu Adam says, well, that must be that it's not addressed by the halacha of Moshe Mesinai. That's why he says, all the halacha of Moshe Mesinai tells us that an Hasham that doesn't get out of the Mizbeach ends up being an Olah, and not an Hasham. Right? And then, if we just get one line from where we are, it says, L'day hachi pirusho, this is the explanation of my time up, right, that my time up by Akira, Shetarach Shishkatenu L'shem Olah B'feirush. That's what Rav's going to teach, that you have to, right? If you make it into an Olah explicitly. So that's what, in the end, it's going to end up being an Olah anyway when it becomes, when it gets a movement. I'm a Krav, who gave you to you, hey? Habayat Hashem, I see a credit. That it remains in Hashem until you remove it. To perish the shame of God.
We
would have known this from the Lakha Mishnah. Who I did? No, the Bloy be appearing, now we crush the Allah. No, even without an Akira shame, according to the Lakha Mishnah, it would have been an Allah. That means you could have just taken the Lakha Mishnah, you would have taken the Hashem, put on his back, and it would have been an Allah, no problem. Rav comes to teach you, no, you can't do that, because Rabbi Yotel Yehei, I mean, Rav, according to what Rabbi Kiva is saying, Rabbi Yotel Yehei means that you must change the shame of the Hashem to be an Allah. What about this grazing business? It has to go out and get a mow first, you have to redeem it, and then it's rising a lot. That's all Xerah the Rabbanah of Akar Kapara, Lefne Kapara because of Akar Kapara. If you already were Iskapara with another Hashem, then it'll be a totally different status to it. Whereas here, where it's Lefne Kapara, right there, you have the Lakhma Shina, it would not tell you to do anything besides.
Logically, it's a great pair. In terms of words, you know, the Havayasa today, is that really when we learn that type of thing? I mean, usually it applies.
No, wait, the Habiyotah, hey, it's not really a change. So that's not, the big critic in Rabbeinu Tam is how we change the Lakhla Moshe Mesinah.
No, but to use that legally, there's the hey, that until you declare it to be something else.
That's the way the Maram Sofim is learning it. That's exactly what the Gemara is using it, that it remains in its status until you change your status. How you change your status, that's exactly what Rabbeinu Tam and all the other people, other Rishonim, or the Maram Sofim is dealing with this. At what point can you change your status, or how do you change your status?
Where's
the Maram Sofim's status? Maram says, there when he's using it as a Sofim, as a Motor Shlomim, there the Maram says either a Pesach remains a Pesach until you say it's a Shlomim, same way that he's using it here, or it automatically becomes a Shlomim and you don't need to say it. So it's using it in the same function. I don't think Rav's is less of a Kiddush. The biggest Kiddush in Rabbeinu Tam is that we have a Shas full of Allah Khamash Mesina that says when Hashem ni tak riyah, and he's changing the gears to mean Hashem ni tak the Ola and not to the Riyah, which is a massive Kiddush that Rabbeinu Tam changes the Allah Khamash Mesina to deal with the Gemara Shavuos. Basically, because otherwise the Gemara Shavuos doesn't make any sense whatsoever, that you have this Zerah Drabbanon, which basically says the same thing that the Allah Khamash Moshe Mesina is, and they knew the Allah Khamash Mesina. Rabbeinu Tam sees that as inconsistent. It says that Allah Khamash Mesina must have identified a much narrower issue, which is that an Hashem becomes an Olah. Alright, so that's the way the Tosafot deals with it. The Mefarish goes through three different Perushim, to be honest with you, it's difficult to even, they're so nuanced, it's difficult even to see the little differences between them. But he tries, again, over and over again, to explain this Gemara, and I think it's clear that he's trying to deal with the what exactly is happening here. Why does the Pasuk tell you something and that the Lakha Moshe Mesinai doesn't tell you, or the other way around? We can read them, I'll skip around, we'll just read them quickly, and you can just see that the, get a flavor for what the, he says. So if he says over here, the Hasham Shaitak the Riyah, right here, if you say Hashem Shini Takariya in the Mefarish, you see that where it says Hashem Shini Takariya? Come on, Tmurat Hashem. What is an Hashem Shini Takariya? Like a Tmurat Hashem, Osha Avrash Nato, Shinit Kabru Bala, Vishometu, the Nitak the Riya, Shiyotsav Yirat Shistaev. These are the five katot that, excuse me, would go to Misa. So here by Hashem, he goes out to graze, Vimacher, and it'll be sold, Viplu, the Mavlan Deva. And then the money would be used for bringing Kabanat. Shehitish. He went ahead and took this animal and v'shakto l'shem Olah. And he shakted it for an Olah. Kasher. It's kasher. Why? Ho v'sofo l'shipobo mum hu nimkar umivim edamav Olah netava. Since in the end, you're going to sell off the animal and redeem it and then use that money to pay for an Olah. Mashmalan, that what? That even beforehand, if you brought it as a korban, that it would also work as an Olah. Kamash one time it's a nitak. Halon tik, apshalo shakto l'shem Olah, el shakto shtam, eno kasher. right, that this is all has to do with the nitak. So the makra who b'ham yatoteh the chos mashal nitak torat Hashem alav upasul. As long as it remains in Hashem, then it's no longer it is pasul. So what is the mashal on here? That the halacha Moshe Mesinai that the animal must go out and graze and then get a moment. That only teaches me basically it's the same thing that Rabbeinu Tam says, but in a different way. Teaches me it must graze and then get a moment and be exchanged for an olah. But that's the halacha Moshe Mesinai is teaching me that the end game is an olah. So then the pasul comes and teaches me, well, you know what? You can get to that end game even earlier on if you switch the Hashem to an olah. As long as it's going out to graze, then if you switch the name to olah, then it also works. So that's what the pasul teaches me, as opposed to the, right, as opposed to the halacha Moshe Mesinai. So now he says, inyan acher, or another way to explain it, Hashem shenitak, lo shehi pishu v'avad. He separated it out and was lost. V'hibishacher tachtav. This goes out to graze. That once it's shechted, so this is much more what you were saying, Shaul, that the first way the Mefarish is learning is that it's a din l'chatchila. You can bring this Hashem as an olah, right? Because in the end it's going to be an olah, you can also switch it to be an olah. Over here, the way the Lashon is learning is like what Shaul suggested, that the Lashon of Rab is b'di'evit. If you have an Hashem that's nitak l'riyah, if b'di'evit you switched it to an olah, then it's okay, bring it as an olah, finish it up. So this way, in the limud here in the Mefarish is, once it's nitak l'riyah and you did something like this, don't stop. You can continue and finish it off as an olah. Why? Because this is a olah. In the end, it's going to be an olah anyway, and that's what the limud of the pasuk teaches us. The last one is, if you look down, if you skip down in the Mefarish, it's across from the Tosfos B'chi. Across from the Tosfos B'chi Ato, it says Inyan Acher. It brings the third interpretation. It says Inyan Acher. Nitak v'shapto l'shem olah, kashir v'shruptamo l'shem olah. All right, so in the first case, he said they shechted it, and then they sprinkled its blood before they asked the question. All right, so then you can bring it on the mizbeach, even the chatchila. And you can't, if you changed it to an olah, then you can sprinkle its dam on the mizbeach, because it's kapu balav. Already they were exchanged. So I think all of these little nuanced explanations in the Mefarish here are coming to try to deal with this problem of how is the limud of Rav different from the halacha Moshe Mesinai. The halacha Moshe Mesinai goes ahead and says, nitak l'riyah, go out and graze, and it's going to end up as an olah. What did Rav add over here? So the easiest way, seriously, to explain Rav, and that's what Shaul was suggesting, is that Rav's halacha b'di'evet. That mechatchila, the halacha Moshe Mesinai teaches us, you put it out to graze, right, you get some mum, right, and when it gets a mum, you bring it, you exchange it and bring it as an olah. What happens prior to that point? What happens, God bless you, what happens if you bring it prior to that point as an olah? If you just had the halacha Moshe Mesinai, it would seem no good. So that's what the limud of Rav comes to teach you, that once it's nitak l'riyah, if you switch it to an olah, then okay. If you bring it to Stam Hashem, does it work? Because it says Hashem Baba tell you, hey. But if you switch to an olah, with the Ebed, that's okay. So that works well, according to the first, that deals with our Gemara in, right here, the locus, in this location. Problem is the Gemara in Shavuos, which the Gemara is actually just not raised here, but that becomes a problem is why the Gemara in Shavuos say, Bidra'abodman, it's Nitak L'riyah. Here, you already have a Lachamash Mesinai, and the supposed Doraisa, which already tell you what's going to happen. Right, that he doesn't deal with. That's where Rabbeinu Tam comes in and has to create a different explanation. But just to explain it locally, he's explained it the way that we just said, which is that Lachamash Mesinai tells you what to do, Lachatkhila. B'di'evet, Rav tells you what happens if you didn't do that. And that would be the simplest way to read our Gemara on location. I'll read the next line in the Gemara, and then we can stop here just so we get the head start on tomorrow, which is Amar Mar, Halacha hi bin Nazir. So the Gemara says that Halacha Moshe Mesinai is by a Nazir that the leftover monies get used to go to the Olat and Davah. The Gemara says the two Lekha. There are no other items or no other Kavanot where you have leftover money that also end up being brought as a load. All other chayvei kinim, what are chayvei kinim? Kinim are birds. Right? You have to bring a pair of birds. Just so also, by a nazir, you also have a pair of birds. By a nazir tameh, he brings a pair of birds. But other things like a yoledet, an azavah, in the Torah who have to bring birds for their karmanot that have money that's left over. And their money, they separated out money to bring their birds. The case here is that the case of an olav yored. Olav yored is a karban that changes based on your economic status. So what happens if a person separated out, a woman separated out money to pay for her birds, and then she became wealthier? Before she was able to bring the karmanot, her economic status lifted, and now she wants to bring animals instead of birds. So what? She can use this money that she separated out for the kinyan and put it towards either an olah or the chatat that she has to bring. She can use all the money. Now the question is, why can she bring all of that money for a chatat or all of that money for an olah? Don't you have a chatat and an olah mixed up in this money? That comes back to what we said in the beginning of today's daf, which is that depends. But if she said the money is for my karbanot kinim or whatever, my karbanot yolot, then you'd have to put part of the money for an olah, part of the money for a chatat. If she just says this is for my yoledet or this is for my zavah, she doesn't identify the word karbanot there, then you can use all the money for either one of the two. All right, that just goes back to what we said at the beginning of today's daf. If she dies or he dies and they have these birds that were supposed to be brought, then what happens to the money that's left over? It goes to the nidavah, it goes to olot. So why do you have something by Nazir and by Kinyin? You have the same halakha. So what do you mean halakha Moshe Sinai only applies to Nazir? It also applies by the case of Kinyin. Right, so the Mar says, no, Tana Nazir, v'chayvi Kinyin to damulei. Right, so that the when we say the halakha Moshe Sinai means Nazir, and anything that looks like a Nazir, and anything similar to it by Kinyin. So why would you connect between a Nazir and other halakhot? So that Tosa says that the halakha of the Moshe Sinai is about anything where one chiyuv generates two karbanot. I mean that one issue, the issue of the nazir generates multiple karbanot. It generates a khatas, an ola, a shlamim. Right, so too by the kinyan, the oledet or the zava generate a chatas and an ola from one issue of being a zava or the taras of zava or the taras of the oledet. So in all these cases, one circumstance generates multiple karbanot. So that's what the halakha Moshe Sinai was talking about. Things like nazir and kinyan, which are similar to it. How are they similar to it? One issue generates multiple karbanot. In that case, then the smoke still name are going to fall the olat and deva. The other way to say that the damulei is that we also have by a nazir tameh that what are the karbanot that nazir tameh brings is an olat and shlamim that are birds. Right, you bring the chatas and the ola, a nazir becomes to me, are birds. We say nazir, we call the damulei, that kinim are like nazir because within the context of nazir, you also have birds that are brought. If then you have birds by a nazir, they also have birds by these zava and yoledet.
That's the problem, not the bird pair, the chatas, because that's really
where right, that's the issue. The issue is that the nazir tohar, but either way, but that's why they're similar, and therefore, the law must say it's much more inclusive or expansive than just focusing on nazir. I will stop here, and we'll